Well, good morning, everyone. My name's Brett Richardson, and I'm the pastor here at City Central Presbyterian Church. And I'd like to welcome you to our live stream church, Church at Home. It's great to have you with us here this morning. And if you're watching one of the recorded versions of this, I'd like to welcome you as well. Each week, everybody at church is contacting us to say, because they want to say g'day to one another. And John Lamb, who receives a recorded version of the live stream, would like to say hello to everybody. And we've got Alex and Mel, Cinta and Fiona tuned in as well from John and Matt's place, with Sam, Ben, Lizzie, Lucy, and the Fernandos, who I don't think are at John and Mad's place. Perhaps they are. We'll be talking a little bit about that as we move on. Tuan says that the Fernandos aren't at John and Mad's place. So welcome to however you're watching this, welcome to you this morning. In our Bible time today, we're going to be continuing our series of ancient wisdom for 21st century living in the book of Proverbs. And today, we're going to be looking at the theme of God's wisdom and alcohol. And what I'd like to do this morning is to start by reading a psalm, Psalm 8. I'm going to read out Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honour. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Can I lead us in prayer as we start? Let's talk to God. Our Heavenly Father, we want to commend this time into your hands. We want to praise you. We want to encourage one another as we live together and love Jesus. Help us to listen to your word today. And may your Holy Spirit pour the grace of the gospel into our hearts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a wonderful old song now, All Creatures of Our God and King. And then we're going to sing the song, Jerusalem. Let us praise God. Let's sing, All Creatures of Our God and King.
Good morning. Please join me in prayer. Dear Father, we praise you this morning for making us in your image and revealing yourself to us through your creation, your word, and your Son. We praise you for your creation. Your first words to us in the Bible are, "In the beginning you created the heavens and the earth." In Psalm 90 you tell us, "Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." The whole universe exists only because you planned it. You made the heavens to declare your glory. Everything in heaven and on earth declares that you are God, that you are glorious, that you are the creator and ruler of all, that we are your creatures, and that you are worthy of all our praise. Father, you are all-knowing, so nothing can ever take you by surprise, and you are all-powerful, so nothing can ever stop you from fulfilling every purpose you have for your kingdom and for us as your people. Father, please help us to keep trusting you when our life is going smoothly, and also when we are struggling to understand why things are happening to us and to our world. Father, thank you for your assurance that not even a single sparrow is forgotten by you, that you've even numbered the hairs on our heads, and so we should not be afraid. We praise you this morning for your word through which we learn about you, your salvation, your will, and your promises. We praise you, Father, for opening the eyes of our hearts and minds to believe your word and to know the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, and the surpassing greatness of your power toward us who believe. We praise you for your faithfulness, even when we are unfaithful. Father, we praise you for being rich in mercy toward us, for your great love with which you loved us, so great that even when we were still dead in our sins, you made us alive together with Christ. Father, as your people, we want to align our lives with your will and purposes as you have revealed them to us in your word, to do all that you've commanded us to do, to remain true to you in all things. But Father, we confess that we so easily find ourselves afraid and discouraged by our circumstances, or afraid of what people might think of us if we stand up for Christ, or intimidated by a world that has rejected you. We know your commandments, but we knowingly break them. We foolishly fail to obey you or trust in your guidance and good purposes for our lives. In Ephesians, you tell us not to be foolish, but to understand what your will is, that we should not get drunk on wine and fall under its control, but instead we should be filled with the Holy Spirit and live under his control, that there should not even be a hint in our lives of anything that is improper or out of place for God's holy people, whether in word or deed. Father, we confess that we have sometimes let unwholesome talk come from our mouths, words that have not been helpful in building others up according to their needs. Our words and deeds have not always been kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other as Christ has forgiven us. But Father, we also praise you this morning that if we sin, we have an advocate with you, Jesus Christ the righteous, whom you sent to die in our place for our sins. Thank you for your wonderful assurance that as your people, if we confess our sins, you will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, restoring our fellowship with you and with one another. We praise you that you are slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression. Father, we have so much to thank you for and to bring before you this morning. Thank you for the partial lifting of restrictions. We thank you for our ability to continue to have an online service. For Brett, Bruce, Luke, Nicole, our singers and musicians, for all who have been able to contribute to our online service. Thank you that many of us are now able to join in our homes to share the Sunday service together. Thank you for those who have been contacting and checking on our welfare throughout this time of isolation. We pray especially for continuing relationships as Jenny tries to keep in touch with Let's Talk English attenders. We thank you for Pat's faithfulness in providing us with daily prayer points. We pray that we would remain faithful in prayer as you call us to pray without ceasing. We also pray for our elders, that they will continue to be wise in scripture and wise in stewardship as they spiritually care for every one of us and oversee our ministries, premises and finances. We pray for Luke, Nicole and Tron as they continue Bible college, that their study would be effective as they also give so much of their time to serving us each week. We thank you for City Youth and pray that the encouragement of the recent winter camp would continue to bear fruit in the lives of all who joined the online sessions. And Father, we also pray for the missionaries we support. We pray that you will use their witness to bring many to Christ among so many lives that have been changed or devastated. We pray that they will be able to adjust their strategies and programs as restrictions ease, as they restart regular activities, and as they work out how to go about sharing life, community, and the gospel. We pray for Liz Smith and her daughters, Jenny and Amanda, and her extended family following David's funeral 2 days ago. We pray that you would comfort them and that they would know your grace and love at this time of great loss. Father, we pray for our governing authorities, that parliamentary decisions would encourage and support godly values within our society and protect our freedom to worship and witness you to you. Father, we also pray for the witness of the church worldwide, that even in the current turmoil, confusion and violence over race and rights and climate change and ideology, that you would enable your worldwide church to continue to make disciples of all nations and to teach obedience to everything you have commanded as we look to the return of Christ and to a new heavens and new earth where righteousness will finally reign. Father, we praise you that your love for us is so great that you not only call us your children, but you have made us fellow heirs with Christ. Father, you are able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Help us to be faithful to you and not grieve your Holy Spirit, but to rejoice in our salvation, to be strengthened to do good, and to give all glory, honor, and praise to you alone. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for that, Greg. I'd like to bring some greetings to everybody now. Angie wants to say hi, the Williams family, Jason. Alan and Jenny say hello with Ben and Sarah and little Will, who are meeting together. Philip and Lyndall want to say g'day. The Metasellas, Jeanette Williams from Cessnock. Nolene wants to say hello. Ruth, Dylan, Renee, Danny, who are all gathering together, want to say g'day as well. Got some sad news to share just now. Yalal's mother died last night. So if you could please be praying for Yalal and Arka in the coming days. If you would like to get in touch with us, say that you've come onto our website and you're just watching church with us for the first time, or you've been during the COVID-19 restrictions, you've been watching our live stream and you'd like to get in touch with us, you'd like to know more about us as a church, we would love to hear from you, and you can do that very easily on our website. You can see the just at the bottom of our website how you can get in contact with us, and we would really like to respond to you and to, I guess get a little bit deeper with you rather than just brushing with you with the live stream. So if you can get in contact with us, we'd love to hear from you. As I shared last week, we're going to be gathering again from the 19th of July. We're going to have, last week we said up to 50 people in the ministry, in the church building. It might be a little bit more than that now with the four square rule that has come into effect. But that will be to watch a live stream into the church building, and that will be happening from the 19th of July. So please just be thinking about that, whether you want to sign on to be coming into church for that morning. But in the meantime, and during that time, we're encouraging people to get together in little satellite churches. Our Premier has told us that we're allowed to have up to 20 people in our homes at the moment. Now, maybe that might not be COVID safe for you to have 20 people in your home, but as where it is safe, we want as many people to gather together in church or in their homes to have a satellite church. So if you could please be thinking about that. If you'd like some help with that, we'd certainly like to put you in contact with people that would love to have you join them for church. Next week, the topic is going to be, in our Bible time, Proverbs and friendship. And what we'd like you to be sending in this week is photos of friends or something that might symbolise friendship for you. So if you could be sending those photographs in for Luke to pull those photos together, that would be great. So the topic is Proverbs and friendship, and photos that either of friends or something that symbolises friendship for you, if you could be sending them in. Don't forget that this term we're supporting Samuel and Emily as they are working at Sydney University at the moment, and Emily is finishing her studies at Sydney Missionary and Bible College. Don't forget that we're supporting them as they're preparing to go to Portugal to do cross-cultural ministry. If you need some more information about that, how we're supporting them as a church, please get in contact with me. But this is really important that we get behind this young couple as they seek to serve the Lord Jesus in Portugal. Well, now it's time for the kids' spot. And we're actually going to go live to the kids' spot now. So I'd just like to welcome Nicole to come in and to do the kids' spot.
Okay, well, good morning, everyone. It's so nice to be live and to see all of the kids that are tuned in with us today, and I hope there's more at home watching along. I'm going to give you 10 seconds now, and I want you to someone near you to tell them, what do you think is the best gift you've ever received? Okay, 10 seconds, the best gift you've ever received from someone. Have a think. I know it's not very long, but just whatever comes to your mind. Okay, I hope you told someone what the best gift you've ever received is. Now, I have never received this as a gift, and you might never receive it either, but imagine someone gave you an iPad as a present. Now, your parents might be thinking, Nicole, why would you suggest that as a present idea? That's really raising the bar. I'm not saying, but imagine someone gave you an iPad as a present. Okay, your parents gave you an iPad for Christmas, and then you take the iPad everywhere you go. In fact, you even take the iPad without a case out on the trampoline with you, or you're playing on the driveway out the front of your house and you just leave the iPad there, or you even take the iPad in when you're having a bath because you just want to play with it in the bathroom. Would that be a good way to use a gift that your parents gave you? No, I don't think so. I think that would be a terrible way to show your appreciation for a gift that your parents gave you. It would look like you didn't really care about the gift that they had given you. And now imagine if they gave you an iPad and you just went, oh, thanks, Mum and Dad, ran into your room, closed the door, and you just stopped talking to them because you were so busy on your iPad all the time. Would that be a good way to use the gift that they'd given you? Well, of course not. Again, you're not using it in a way that actually shows you're thankful to them for the gift that they've given you, and it's getting in the way of the relationship that you have with your parents in the first place. Well, all our gifts that God gives us, we want to think about how we can use those in a way that shows we are thankful to God that He's given them to us, that we use them in the way that is actually the way that He's shown us to, and it doesn't get in the way of our relationship with Him. And the Bible says all the good things in our life are gifts from God, including food and drink. Now, that's a great gift from God. God didn't have to make strawberries for us to eat. He didn't have to make maple syrup to put on pancakes or cocoa beans to turn into chocolate. But that's a gift that God has given us, good, tasty food. But like all gifts, we want to make sure that we use our food and drink in a way that actually helps us to love God and love other people. And the book of Proverbs that we've been looking at this term has lots to say about the way we use food and drink. For example, let me show you one verse. In Proverbs 25:16, it says, "If you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it and you will vomit." Now, we know that's true, don't we? You might have even had a situation where you ate too much of a certain food, say you ate too many marshmallows, and because you ate too many marshmallows, you got a bit sick. We want to make sure we use food in a way that helps us love God and love other people. Now, you decide. I want 10 seconds. You say, tell someone around you what your favorite food is while I eat mine on the camera. Okay, you got 10 seconds. Okay. I hope you can't hear me chewing too much because that might be not very nice for you. This is one of my favorite foods, Pringles. But one of the slogans for Pringles is, once you pop, you can't stop. Okay, they know that Pringles are addictive and you could just keep eating and eating and eating. But imagine if I started eating 10 cans of Pringles a day. What would happen? Well, one, it would probably be a waste of my money, and so I would be using money on something that isn't necessarily that great. Two, I would probably have to lie down because I had a stomach ache every afternoon from eating too many Pringles. And three, when I got older, I'd probably end up with some sort of health condition as well that would use up even more of my time and money when I'm older. That would not be a wise way to use the gift of Pringles that God has given me. With all of our food and drink, all of the gifts that God has given us, we want to think about how we can use them in a way that helps us to love God and to love other people. And the good thing is, if we trust in Jesus, He says He gives us His Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit to be with us, who can actually help us to have self-control. And so I'm going to pray that God would help us to have self-control so we can use food and drink and all the gifts He gives us in a way that shows that we love Him and love others. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you for all the good gifts you give us. Thank you for Pringles and strawberries and maple syrup and soft drink and juice and all these good things, Lord. But we know that these are good things from you, and so we don't want them to get in the way of us loving you and loving others. So please give us self-control. Please give us wisdom to know the right way to use these things. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to hand it back over to Brett. Thanks.
Thanks, Nicole. I'd love to hear the backstory of the marshmallows saga there. That would be wonderful to hear more about that. And if Pringles want to send in sponsorship money, that's fine. You can go ahead and do that if you would like to. But more importantly, we're going to get to the reading of God's word. We're going to have Proverbs 23, 29 to 35 read out for us in a moment's time. So if you can get your Bibles ready for that. But to help us with the reading of God's word, we're going to have a song, and it's a new song. And Dylan's going to introduce that for us.
Good morning, church. I'm Dylan, and I'm about to introduce you to a new song called Give Us Truth. This song has been specifically written for the purpose of it being sung before the reading and preaching of God's word. It is a prayer that God would prepare our hearts to receive his truth. To teach the song, I'm going to start by singing the first verse and chorus. Then I'm going to stop, and then we're going to sing it all the way from the beginning.
Come again, join before the endless spring, about to drink to quench our thirsty souls. The taste is sometimes bitter, for mouths so unprepared they come, with hearts of stone that need those words of old. Hearts that yearn for truth when the world will give them none. Give us truth. Give us wisdom in this time. Replace the lies we feed our minds. We know your words more than suffice. Erode away at these stones and shape us more like Christ.
Now that we have an idea of how it goes, let's sing the whole thing together.
Here we come again, joined before the endless spring, about to drink to quench our thirsty souls. The taste is sometimes bitter, for mouths so unprepared they come, with hearts of stone that need those words of old. Hearts that yearn for truth when the world will give them none. Give us truth. Give us wisdom in this time. Replace the lies we feed our minds. We know your words more than suffice. Erode away at these stones and shape us more like Christ. Distractions, let there be. Let's be nourished only from one source. Keep translation pure. May the preacher's words be yours. Take away the barriers to your cause. Release the truth of your word with unstoppable force. Give us truth. Give us wisdom in this time. Replace the lies we feed our minds. We know your words more than suffice. Erode away at these stones and shape us more like Christ. Prepare the soil to receive a seed from which your truth will grow. nurture, nourish, help, believe. The living God we come to know. Prepare this soil to receive the seed from which your truth will grow. Nurture, nourish, help, believe. The living God we come to know. Prepare this soil to receive the seed from which your truth will grow. Nurture, nourish, help, believe. The living God we come to know. Give us truth. Give us wisdom in this time. Replace the lies we feed our minds. We know your words more than suffice. Erode away at these stones and shape us more like Christ. Erode away at these stones and shape us more like Christ.
After singing that prayer, let's turn to God's word. I hope you've all got your Bibles open at Proverbs chapter 23, the book of Proverbs chapter 23. If you have your trouble finding your way around the Bible, Proverbs is just to the right of the middle. Open up at the middle and you'll probably get Psalms, and the next book is Proverbs. Chapter 23 and reading from verse 29. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? Those who linger over wine, who go to sample bowls of mixed wine. Do not gaze at wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a snake and poisons like a viper. Your eyes will see strange sights, and your mind imagine confusing things. You will be like one sleeping on the high seas, lying on the top of the rigging. They hit me, you will say, but I'm not hurt. They beat me, but I don't feel it. When will I wake up so that I can have another drink? Amen.
Well, if you could please keep your Bibles open in Proverbs. That's what we'll be looking at today, and just let you know that this has been recorded on Thursday afternoon. So let's ask God to help us as we come before him in this way, as we approach his word. Let's do it in a humble fashion. Let's talk to God. Now, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that you haven't left us alone, and that you have given us your holy word, and you've given us your Holy Spirit to help us as we come to your word and to think through it. And you've given us your church to speak the truth in love to us, to help us to grow into Christ our head. And we pray that you would just help us to focus our minds on your word now. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. when I lived in Spain, whenever we went around to somebody else's place to eat, every single time they would have three things on the dinner table. Every time. They would have bread, serviettes, and wine. And the wine was cheap. You could buy a top quality Rioja Reserve wine for around about $5. In fact, alcohol, all alcohol was cheap. In the supermarket, you could buy a can of beer for 13 cents. I have a friend who worked in Pakistan. And because it is predominantly a Muslim country, there was never wine on the dinner table. Now, here's the thing. We were both involved in cross-cultural ministry. We were both serving Jesus in gospel ministry, but in radically different contexts. in cultures that had very different attitudes to alcohol. So where is the wisdom as far as alcohol is concerned? As people who love the Lord Jesus, how can we serve in this area? And how should we think and act as far as alcohol is concerned? What is God's wisdom on alcohol? For those that are just joining us, we've been looking at a series in the Bible book of Proverbs, Ancient Wisdom for 21st Century Living. And each week we've been discovering these wise principles and then looking at how we should apply these principles as followers of Jesus in the 21st century. The theme of alcohol is important because we live in a society that has significant alcohol-related problems. Just think about the economics of alcohol use in this country. We raise around about $7 billion each year in alcohol taxes, but it costs $15.3 billion in hospitalisation, a loss of income because of death or morbidity due to alcohol consumption. In 2005, alcohol caused more than twice as many deaths as road accidents, 3,494 deaths due to alcohol and alcohol-related injury to 1,600 road deaths. The highest percentage of people who drink on a daily basis are people who are over 70, and one in eight deaths of young people in Australia, alcohol was either the cause or it was a contributing factor in their death. And just think about the way that we have lived with COVID-19. We increased our alcohol consumption as a country. In the early stages of the restrictions, alcohol sales increased by 32%. And that's when clubs and pubs were closed. And the increase was more solitary consumption rather than social use. The way we use alcohol as a nation is significant. So as followers of Jesus, how can we be wise in our consumption of alcohol and be a help rather than a hindrance? And even if we don't drink, or even if you don't drink, we have the opportunity to be kind and gracious to think biblically about alcohol. So today I would like to look at three wise principles in Proverbs about alcohol. firstly, it is part of God's good creation. Secondly, drunkenness is dangerous. And thirdly, self-control is commended. And then, as we've been doing each week, I want to look at how we understand these principles as we follow Jesus. So let's have a look at the first point. Alcohol can be a blessing and part of God's good creation. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 to 10, it says, "Honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine." Here, wine is seen in a positive light. God created all the ingredients to make alcohol, the sugars from the fruit and the yeast, and the yeast that turns those sugars into alcohol. And actually, alcohol is found in many different liquids. There's even a small quantity of alcohol in breast milk. But not only did God create the ingredients to make alcohol, Jesus drank alcohol. And his very first miracle in John's Gospel is changing water into wine at a wedding in Canaan. Alcohol is not inherently evil. Wisdom tells us that alcohol is a good part of God's creation, and God has given us senses because he wants us to enjoy his creation. We know that in adults, certainly not in developing bodies, but in adults, there are health benefits to moderate alcohol consumption. And when I say moderate alcohol consumption, I'm talking about 2 to 3 standard drinks a day, depending on your sex and your weight, and 2 to 3 days of no alcohol use during a week. So the health benefits of moderate alcohol use would be a lowering the risk of cardiovascular cardiovascular disease, lowering the risk to diabetes and some forms of dementia. And we know how helpful alcohol has been in preventing the spread of disease, as we've been washing our hands with it so that we can keep other people COVID safe. But we also need to remember that the consumption of alcohol can impair our immune system. But alcohol is not for everyone. Alcohol is not for everyone. Let's have a look at a couple of verses that we looked at last week when we looked at wisdom and justice. Proverbs 31, verses 4 and 5. It is not for kings, Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, not for rulers to crave beer, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and deprive all the oppressed of their rights. So as we saw last week, a wrong use of alcohol can cause the king to get distracted from implementing justice, for caring for those who are disenfranchised. Therefore, because of his role, the king may need to abstain from using alcohol or keep a strict check on his consumption of alcohol to make sure it doesn't impair his decision-making. And there would be many other reasons why people would abstain. Some people just don't like alcohol. Some cultures and ethnic groups don't have a history with alcohol, and it can adversely affect those groups more than other groups. There are even Aboriginal elders in Australia that work very hard at keeping alcohol out of their communities. And they are very critical of alcohol companies that target those communities. Some particular families also seem to be more at risk of alcohol-related problems. So wisdom says there would be reasons why you would not drink alcohol, even though it's a good part of God's creation. So let's look at the second point. Drunkenness is dangerous. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 29 to 30. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaints? Who has needless bruises? Who has bloodshot eyes? Those who linger over wine, who go to sample bowls of mixed wine. Verses 29 to 35 of Proverbs 23 that was read out before in the Bible reading is a poetic picture of not only the physical effects of alcohol, but the internal motivation to drink. The words that have been translated woe and sorrow in verse 29 sound similar to one another in the original Hebrew. And I'm told they sound more like grunts or groans. And the reason for this groaning is the social implications, the strife and the complaints. And then there's the physical results of drunkenness, bruises and bloodshot eyes. And we can see today the social and physical implications of drunkenness in our communities, the rise of binge drinking and the impact it's having on young lives, and it causing enormous amount of heartache for families, the death and the injury caused by the use of alcohol and driving. Alcohol-fueled violence. The Australian National Council of Drug Report found that 60% of all police call-outs and up to 90% at night time are alcohol-related. 20% of young people who had their first sexual encounter between the ages of 14 and 18 said that they did it when they were drunk and they regretted it. And think about the physical costs associated with alcohol use. It is toxic to all the vital organs in our body. It can cause brain damage. And even in small quantities, it can be harmful to unborn babies. You can build up a tolerance to alcohol. That means it's addictive. What addiction actually means is that you feel like you have to increase your intake of the drug just to feel normal. And alcohol withdrawal can have significant health complications, and it is recommended that you only do it medically. But there are spiritual costs to drunkenness as well. two of the patriarchs, Noah and Lot, had dreadful things happening in their families because they got drunk. And we are told in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, that drunkenness is so dangerous spiritually that it has the possibility of disqualifying somebody from the kingdom of God. So let's have a look at the third point. Self-control is commended. Proverbs 25, 28. Like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. In ancient times, a city's strength was as strong as the weakest part in its walls. If the enemy was able to find the weak or the exposed spot in the wall, the whole city could be captured by this small hole in the wall. Likewise, if a person lacks self-control in a small part of their life, given the right conditions, that small crack could become a gaping hole. And obviously, it's not just talking about alcohol. It could be anything. It could be food. It could be gossip. It could be anger. It could be gambling. It could be sex. Today, I'm sure if the guy was writing Proverbs, would include social media and internet. Given the right conditions, our weaknesses can be exposed. Those conditions could be as simple as boredom or stress, living in a pandemic, or more extreme conditions like mental health problems and grief and responding to abuse. So what does it mean to be self-controlled, and how can I be better at it? I think there's a temptation to think that I just need to work harder at being more self-controlled. I just need to harden up and reinforce those weak spots in my wall. It's all about my willpower and trying to work harder. But what is that forgetting? What is that way of thinking forgetting? It's forgetting about grace, and it's forgetting about the gospel. I think we forget this as Christians. It's not just that we are saved by grace and the gospel and then we have to work hard at being a Christian, being more self-controlled. No, the grace of the gospel becomes the very foundation for the way that we live. Every day it's about me saying, I can't do it on my own and I need Jesus. I need Jesus' sacrifice to save me. I need his spirit to change me and I need his church to support me. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 7 to 8, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. How are we to be self-controlled? What does it say? What does it say? Get back to the protective gear, the breastplate of faith and love, the hope of salvation. It's not about us trying harder. It's about us going back to the gospel, recognizing our weakness before a holy God and asking him to help us. Have you ever wondered why Alcoholics Anonymous is such a successful organization? Because the very first thing that someone has to do is to accept that they lack self-control, that they are powerless, and that they have to believe in a higher power and hand their life over to that higher power. And the other thing that Alcoholics Anonymous does is that each person is received by a whole lot of people who are just like them, who want to care. They are not waving their finger at them saying, you just need to work harder at this, be more self-controlled, harden up. I wonder how people who have problems with self-control feel amongst us as a church. Do they feel loved? Do they feel welcomed? Do they feel that they are no different from the rest of us, that we all need Jesus? Or do they feel judged? Do they feel condemned? Do they feel different? Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't use our efforts, and I'm not saying that it's not hard work at times, but we have to constantly be coming back to the gospel of grace, recognizing our weakness, repenting, and humbly coming before God and his community, the church, for help. But we do need to have self-control as far as alcohol is concerned. It's a big problem in our society. Do you drink in a way that brings glory to God? Do you just enjoy alcohol as a good part of God's creation? Or has it got more control over you than you would like? Do you have to include alcohol to enjoy yourself when you go out? Do you have as much fun without alcohol? Has your consumption of alcohol increased during COVID-19? Are you turning to drink as a stress release? Is it a weakness in your wall? So these are some wise principles that we see in Proverbs. Alcohol is part of God's good creation, but drunkenness is dangerous, and it's dangerous socially, physically, and spiritually. And it's important to be self-controlled. So what I'd like to do now is to respond to these principles in a way that we live together as followers of Jesus. How can we take these wise principles and apply them to the way that we think about alcohol and our relationship with one another? Particularly thinking about how the best way that we can enjoy what God has given us without causing harm and encouraging self-control. Well, have a look at Romans chapter 14, verses 19 to 21. Love triumphs rights. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. Now, the issue in Romans 14 is that there is a group of young Christians who have been saved out of paganism, sacrificing animals to statues and then eating that meat. And so they don't eat meat because that might take them back to that paganism. But another group of Christians have never experienced that. Now, there was nothing wrong with the meat, and Christians had a right to eat it and to drink wine. But Paul is saying, love triumphs your rights. Yes, you can eat. Yes, you can drink. You have a right to do so. But what is more important? Your right to eat and drink, or loving your brother and sister in Christ? That's the guiding principle. Love triumphs rights. And that's true about a lot of things in the Christian life. It means if we know that someone has a problem with alcohol, then the loving thing for us to do is not to take them out for a drink. If they come over to our place for lunch, we're not to get the red out. We are free to drink, yes, but we say to ourselves, I'm going to love my brother or sister, and the way that I'm going to do that is to break out the lemonade this week. Alcohol can be an enjoyable, good part of God's creation, and we can show people by our behaviour how to enjoy it without it controlling us, without it hurting us or hurting the people around us. And whether we do or we don't drink, whatever we do it to love God and to serve people. Let's pray. We thank you, our Heavenly Father, for the good creation that you have given us. We pray that you would help us to enjoy it wisely. We pray that you would save us from misusing your good creation. We pray that you would bless us with self-control. And whatever we do, we pray that your Spirit would help us to do it for God's glory and because we love the people that you have put around us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to share some greetings that I forgot to share before. We've got Anne wants to say hi to everyone, and Vic and Robin. So let us think about how we are to love God and to love and serve one another now as we sing the song Undivided. Okay, thank you very much for joining us with the live stream this morning. And can I just say again, if you would like to get in contact with us, you can do that on our webpage, just scrolling down to the bottom there, and you'll be able to get in contact with us, and we'd love to talk to you more about whatever you want to talk to us about. Don't forget, many of you would have received the email for the for the Zoom morning tea. If you can join us for a Zoom morning tea, even if it's just to say hi and then go, that would be great to connect with you. I'm sure a lot of people would love to see your face. Just let me finish now some words from Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learnt or received or heard from me or seen in me, put in practice. And I need to say that's Paul saying that, not me. And the God of peace will be with you. Amen.